Hello, and welcome to this week's episode of the Quarter Life Queen podcast. I'm your host, Susie, and today I will be speaking with Elena Huebner, who is the founder, lead designer, and all in all, just the beauty and brains behind Floramilu, which is a wedding and event floristry here in St. Louis. And she has so much knowledge and advice about starting your own business and being a visionary for what your business is going to look like in the future. But even if you're not an entrepreneur, she has so much to say about discerning your passions, about recovering from a broken dream, and how things like your support system and also your self-worth really translate into your success and a foundation in your 20s, which of course relate to the future longevity in your life. So be sure to lean in and enjoy our conversation.
Well, I guess just a little backstory. We'll get into all the things, but Elena is the founder and, would you say, like, lead designer or
the owner, lead designer, yes.
Yes, of Floramilu. And so when I was probably a junior in college, she came and spoke to our sorority chapter because one of my other sorority sisters, Abby, had worked with her before. And I was just so inspired by you. Like, you just had like a really sweet presentation about just looking for people to help support you as your business was growing. And it just seemed like kind of a fun way to like make some extra money in college. But like, little did I know you would end up being such like an important person in my life. So I'm so glad that I got to meet you at that time.
Oh my gosh, that means so much to me. And it was so sweet. I remember I hosted several different interviewees, and you were the last one of the night. It was like 6:30 or 7 p.m. And you came, you know, around the side of my house into my little basement. And I remember just being so, at that point, I was kind of tired. I was like, all right, I've been doing these all afternoon. You were my last one, and I was so impressed by you, just the way that you carried yourself, you know, your approach on life and just the future that was before you. I knew that there was something so special about you. And honestly, I couldn't be more thankful that you are in my life and a part of this team.
Oh, thank you so much. That means so much to me. I was not expecting that. But so the kind of mission or like the center of this podcast is kind of walking with just normal girls in their 20s. And you actually had mentioned to me that you read the book, The Defining Decade. So I know that this is something that you've considered before, where it's just an interesting time where everybody's in completely different stages of life. And so I just think that your story is so special because you're still in your 20s, but you've really gone like in an unconventional way. But kind of take us back to when you were maybe like 19 or 20, and like, what were you doing? What were some of your goals? And kind of what was your perspective just on like the things that were about to come your way?
Yeah. So I think it's such an interesting time to just being in our 20s. I'll just kind of start with there in reference to the book, The Defining Decade, because once you are finished with college, you're not on the same playing field anymore, right? Like, everyone's on their own track. There's no like, quote, end goal. Like, you're not graduating from anything anymore. So it's really an interesting time. And I feel it's so important that you surround yourself with communities of people that are going to, that understand, and that can encourage you and inspire you to continue growing in whatever avenue that looks like for you. So kind of back to your question, when I was 18, 19, I knew that I was actually working towards being a teacher. So I was pursuing early childhood education, and I was just so excited about my future as an educator. I always kind of felt like I was different, meaning I felt like my peers just, I don't know, were always just doing normal, conventional things, like wanting to go and day drink and do all the fun things in college. And I just kind of strived for more. Like, I always wanted more. So anything that I was doing, I wanted to give my all into it. So I was preparing to be a teacher. I wanted to immerse myself in as many experiences as possible. I got involved at a church nursery. I worked there. I worked with many different families, and was just trying to find as many rich, diverse experiences as possible to just assure that I was going to be the best teacher I could be. And yeah, I was at Missouri State University. That's where I went to college. And I actually started a group of women, always been passionate about bringing women together, growing together, connecting, learning. It's kind of a fun little foreshadow. It was called Be the Blossom. It was a group called Be the Blossom, which I don't really know if that makes sense, but it was a group of educators that would come together
Wow.
and we would have community. We would talk about various issues within education and we would just grow and share our experiences together. So that's kind of a way where I knew I always wanted more. And so I was
Yeah.
seeking those opportunities to kind of differentiate myself.
Yeah, that's really interesting. I didn't know that you did that. I remember something that you shared with me a bit ago was, like you said, you always grew up wanting to be a teacher and you would play teacher like with your brothers and everything. And then when you got into the classroom at probably like 22, 23, like it just wasn't what you thought it was going to be. And I'm sure in your life now, like you see like how that like worked out for a reason, but at the time, I'm sure that was really just heartbreaking because you did kind of like lose a dream. And I think that a lot of people can relate to that, like, finishing their degree and then getting into that first job and realizing like, I don't like this, or this isn't what I thought it was going to be. So could you kind of like talk about that and like kind of share what that experience was like for you?
Absolutely. That is such a great question. And I think it is so relevant. I'll just start. I'm a big writer. I was actually flipping through some of my journals and I just read an entry the other night about this. And that time when I decided I'm not going to teach anymore. And I was reading this real, authentic, raw emotion that came with that. And I was questioning myself, like, what did I do wrong? Why did this not work out for me? I knew since I was 8 that I was going to be a
Yeah.
teacher and, gave it 2 years and it just wasn't what I thought it was. And I think that so often, we put things maybe on a pedestal where we're like, oh, this is great. We expect, we like create this dialogue in our minds, or this vision of what things are going to be. And you don't really know what's going to become of it until you're actually in it. When you're involved or
Yeah.
you're immersed, it's what you're doing on a day to day. I think there's a level of pride and earth shadowing to my ego because, like I
Yeah.
mentioned previously, I did everything I could to differentiate myself and poured everything into being this amazing teacher. And then when I walked away from that, I think not only was I shocked with myself, but I think everyone else was around me was like, oh my gosh, like I
Yeah.
can't believe Elena's leaving teaching.
Yeah.
So I think it was a level of pride that I had to kind of push through. And ultimately, I chose myself because I realized that my mental health, like at that time, I was battling an eating disorder. And I just wasn't able to show up for myself, let alone my students.
Yeah.
And I had to just kind of come to terms with reality and just say, I can keep going and keep showing up and continue to deteriorate, or I can make the choice to choose me to heal and to really pursue what I'm called to do. And I will say that no experience is a wrong experience or wrong encounter.
Yeah.
I
Yeah.
was meant to be a teacher. I was meant to go to school. I was meant to do it. None of it was wasted. And I remember writing about that too. Like, did
Yeah.
I waste my, the money that my parents invested in my education? Like, no, it wasn't a waste because
Yeah.
I've been able to channel those skills, those strengths that I developed, and put them into my own kind of funnel them into what I'm doing now, my own avenue.
Yeah. Yeah, that's great. Your story reminds me so much of David in the Bible because it's just so interesting to consider his life. And he gets this task to, kill Goliath, who's this like 7-foot tall giant, and he's just this little guy. And Nobody in his like village or town or whatever was able to do it. But as a shepherd, he had had these experiences of, fighting off different animals and being in these really high intense situations. And so, like, what you see is that, like, God had been preparing him all along for this thing that he had no idea what he was going to do. And so, there's just so many, like, little parts of your story that I see that in where, you have this background in teaching, but that experience has prepared you to do what you're doing now. And I've gotten to see you at, Bloom Bars where you're literally teaching people to, make a bouquet of flowers. Or I've seen you from like the business side of things too, be able to, come up with trainings and content and teaching for how to do a job. And so, yeah, I totally agree that no experience is wasted. And it's really cool to see how God shows up to do amazing things with the experiences that he's given you. So, there was kind of like an in-between where I think you were trying out a few different things, but how did you eventually move into Floramalu?
Yeah, so when I walked away from teaching, I did what was, I guess, comfortable or familiar to me. So I became a nanny. And during that time, I was just like, all right, I know that I was meant for something bigger. I know I was meant to do something on my own. I don't know what that is. I don't know what that looks like. I know that I love to use my hands to create. I love to connect with people and I love to celebrate. I love making people feel special. Those are all elements that I loved and took away from teaching. So I was
Yeah.
on a mission while I was nannying to find my thing. What was my thing going to
Yeah.
be? I started, well, I've always loved to bake. So I was baking. I was, trying out different things. Maybe I could be do that like royal icing cookies and a business doing that, or dabbling in all the balloon garlands that are kind of like really trendy.
Oh my gosh, yeah. One of my
Yeah.
coworkers just did one of those for a baby shower, and I was like, that is an intense operation.
It is. Yes, I was just trying to find, I mean, I was living in an apartment by myself. I had a designated second bedroom that was called the craft room. It was I mean, I will have to show you a picture. It was just materials like on end, just shoved in this room. And I was trying to figure it out. And that family that I was nannying for had was hosting a big 40th birthday party. And I offered, I was like, hey, let me do the flowers for your event. I had just gotten married, loved the flowers on my wedding day. It made me feel like a true bride and knew I was like so intrigued in that process. And I was like, you know
Yeah.
what? Maybe I'll dabble with flowers. So I offered,
Yeah.
let me do the flowers for this tropical party. I had the time of my life. It was so much fun. I didn't know anything about flowers. I could name a rose, a carnation, a tulip. Didn't really know anything else. But I felt like it was like a light bulb went off in that
Yeah.
moment. I was in my apartment on the floor making all of those pieces and I just knew from there that this was the start of something I hadn't ever expected, but it was the start of something. So
Yeah.
I just started, I worked for a florist really briefly, but I felt as though I couldn't do things the way I wanted to. And it was so important to me to create a community of positivity, of optimism. And I just couldn't find that anywhere else that I was working, never in the
Yeah.
educational system or, anywhere that I had worked. And so I was like, you know what? I'm not going to find it. I've got to create it. And I was on a mission. I am going to research. I'm going to figure this out. I'm going to trial and error it until I can, master it, master the art of
Yeah.
floral design, which never really happens. But,
You're
but yeah,
close.
it's kind of the birth story of Floramilu.
That's awesome. And would you say that you experienced a lot of support, like from your friends and family, as you were kind of starting out, or what did that kind of thing side of things look like?
I think people were fascinated, like, oh wow, that's interesting, that's cool. But I think there was a bit of concern with, oh gosh, like you are stepping away from your guaranteed salary, right, in education,
Yeah.
kind of
Yeah.
take a risk. So I think that others who weren't super close to me, kind of other acquaintances were fascinated and, kind of supportive, more supportive than I would say even my family, because they just like care so deeply and were just a little like, how are you going to do this? So ultimately, to answer your question, yes, I always received support from friends and family. But there was that element of, how am I going to make it work? And I think I grew so much in learning how to trust myself through that process. And therefore, I think others watched me trust myself, which kind of just helped me evolve on a personal level as well.
That's great. And so I kind of just like want to take a minute to like summarize some of the things you said, because I think that's really helpful for people that might be interested in, kind of going and doing their own thing. So first you kind of talked about taking inventory of the things that you like to do. And I think that's huge. And I remember one of my friends had gotten advice from somebody that we went to college with who was a little bit older than us. And she said, like, you should be able to use all of your gifts. And I think that's kind of how you can discern like whether or not something is really for you or not. If you feel like you kind of have to like relinquish something that you're passionate about or that you feel like God's really blessed you with in order to do it. So I love the idea of like taking that like introspective time and like really, trying to discern like what is it that you're good at? What do you like to do? What do you want to do? And then also seeking those opportunities to challenge yourself, because you could have made flowers in your basement all day long, but it probably was kind of like a step of faith and vulnerability to say like, okay, I'm gonna try to make this for an event where like people are gonna see it, because that can be kind of intimidating.
Exactly. Yes, it was just really leaning in to trusting myself and just going for it, because you're right. I was selling myself, like I was selling my confidence. I didn't have any experience. And so initially these brides would we met at wedding expos and they would be like, "Oh, well, what have you done?" I'm like, "Well, we can do this." And it was just like figuring it out as I go and just not letting them or showing them just how confident I was in myself and in my services, and how I would be able to like meet their needs and make that connection with them and just be able to flourish. So it was just leaning into really trusting myself, and that had to reflect onto other people to trust me in return.
That's great. So I feel like when you like a person thinks about starting a business, you kind of hope that, you launch the website and then it just kind of comes. But kind of like, what was that really like? Like, was there maybe a year or like just some time where you weren't really seeing results right away? Like, what was that kind of like initial process like?
Yeah, that's such a good question. I think for me personally, I wanted this business and I wanted it now. Like I'm not a patient person. And so that I think that was in return, it was good for me because it gave me that drive, that internal drive, like I've got to make this work now. So I guess the way that I got started was I prioritized relationships over profit. Everything was
Yeah,
about
that's great.
creating new partnerships, getting like developing a buzz about Flora Me Lou before, really being super profitable. So I was attending any and every networking event I could possibly go to. And sometimes people might be like, "Well, I want to find, other people or connections that are within my industry." Yes, that's fair, but also you never know if a roofer's sister is getting married and like wants to come my way, or wants to host a bloom bar. So people know people, especially in St. Louis. Our city is very small, so like has a small feel. So I just made those connections and network, and I let people experience my services and my product for themselves, at no charge. I let them experience that, and then in return, enjoy it and then want to come back. So I was just dropping off arrangements at salons and medical spas and doing giveaways and just really creating that buzz. So I think that relationship building is just the first step. People want to know that I'm a human, right? Like I have a story, and if you can make yourself relatable, people are more likely to want to connect with you on like a human, kind of like a, yeah, human like connection or human to human, I guess was trying to say.
Yeah, I think that's great advice.
Yeah.
And I think that that's translatable to so many things. I think that especially like our generation and culture, they want that like instant gratification like right away. And I definitely experienced that like with my job, like going into starting, my first like full-time job, I just like wanted to like get into it so fast. And like I wanted to, use all the things I've learned and have all these opportunities. But the reality is, like, when you step into something new, it usually takes a lot of time and it takes a lot of work and, establishing relationships. That's like really, getting people to trust you, getting people to, it's like understand like your expertise or what you bring to the table. And so once you kind of get a taste of like the dream of what you want to do, you want to be like fully into it. But even then, like, it still takes time to get to that point,
Yeah, totally. And I think that there is this level of the first time around, I didn't sound like I nailed it. And oh, everything just worked right away. It's a matter of being able to step back and reflect as you're going and seeing, okay, what's working? How are people responding to this? And pivoting, making changes from there. So, I mean, there's so many times where I spent money and I got so excited and I, printed out all of these branding materials and then realized, oh, nope, I need to, like I need to fix this tier or I need to change something here. And so there's just so many times that I had to adjust and make changes and just kind of continue to figure out and niche down like who is my target audience because it's changed. It's evolved a bit from the start to kind of where I am now. So it's also a matter of being able to step back, reflect, see what's working, make changes.
Yeah, that's good. That's great. Yeah, and you can do that whether you're an entrepreneur, whether you're, in a salary job, or whether you're in school. I think that's great advice for anyone. So as you're kind of in this early stage, you're definitely a one-woman show doing it all. How did you kind of come to find the need for like more of a work-life balance and kind of start growing your team and asking for help in those ways?
Yeah, I think what I started to realize is I just can't, yeah, I couldn't do it all. And I will say I'm still in a spot where my life is not quote unquote balanced. I'm towards that. But I met the common mutual connection that we have, Abby. I met her in an elevator. I just started kind of meeting people very organically and realized, oh wow, like they could help me and I could also help someone else in return, giving them a community and some extra, cash on hand and all of that. And so I started just with the relationships and, yeah, building. I just started realizing, okay, if I actually had somebody else to delegate this task to, I would be able to catch my breath a little bit. So I think as I brought Abby onto the team, I realized, oh my gosh, that was immensely helpful. And I think that I can only flourish more as a like on a personal level and on a professional level if I delegate more tasks. So I think it's also been a matter of finding the right people is really, really, really important and is it's actually a little bit more challenging than I thought it would be.
I think that's fair. And having a small business or even having your own personal mission can be really helpful in kind of discerning, like, do the people around me kind of work toward the same goal as me? And that doesn't mean everybody around you has to, but especially when it comes to the people that you're hiring and you're working with, or that you're kind of letting speak into your life, I think it's important that you're kind of on the same page, whether that be professionally or personally.
Absolutely. Yeah, and I think that's really good. That's just a really good point to kind of have that pillar, that mission, and to just assure that anyone that I bring to the team, they align with that mission on a personal level, as well as, being able to provide whatever on a professional level too.
So what does your business look like now, and where do you kind of see it going in the next couple months, years, all the things?
Yeah. I know, it's so exciting. There are so many fun endeavors ahead, And I think right now I'm just in the process of almost pulling back, taking a minute to pause, reflect. I have a little bit of a pause in terms of my design season currently.
Yeah.
So I'm wanting to reflect and refine. That's kind of my theme for the summer, is to refine systems and processes to just make sure that communication is spot on, that the client experience is exceptional. And so really refining what I've already got going well right now, that's kind of the stage that I'm in. And once I can really feel settled in that aspect, I'll train my team up, all of the designers, and really have this, what's the word? Like just this buzz within the team. I want it to
Yeah.
feel very like a strong unit. And I think in the future, after that's kind of already developed, I would love to think about, potentially scaling. Like, how do I scale? How can I inspire other florists or people, just, consumers, to bring florals into their own homes and to create for themselves? And there's just so much research and studies about, what plants and flowers do for our personal health and wellness, and having that be a part of our daily lives and in our homes. And so kind of inspiring others to create and to tell
Yeah.
stories through floral design. That's kind of something that I'm striving to do after I really work out these systems that I've got going now.
Yes, I love that. I love hearing just about your mind and your entrepreneurial mindset and just more about your business. And I think that that's really encouraging and inspiring to a lot of people. I know that something you're pretty open about sharing is like sometimes it can be hard to distinguish between like who you are as a person and like who you are as a business owner. And I think that whether you find your identity as a student or in the job that you have, or if you're married or whatever it may be, to balance that with also just who you are as an individual. So what has like that journey been like for you? And like what advice would you have for somebody who is doing the thing that they're passionate about or is being faithful to the thing in their life right now, but you also still want to take that time for yourself and recognize who you are, just you, without any of the other stuff.
Oh my gosh, that is such a kind of a loaded question, because
Yeah.
it's so there's so many layers to that for me. I would say one of the biggest challenges of my life is having a strong sense of identity. I think I've
Yeah.
always struggled with, like, who am I? Who is Elena deep down? Not what can I do or what can I
Yeah.
create or what success can I have? Like, who am I? And so, to be honest, I'm still navigating that. I'm kind of still in the thick of that. I think it's been so easy for me to sometimes pour myself and my time into Flora Me Lou almost as an escape, right? Because
Yeah.
when I do that, I'm also improving the ecosystem of Flora Me Lou. So it's not like I'm putting my energy into something that's a waste of time, but it's also been a struggle to create balance out of that.
Yeah.
So that is why I honestly do a lot of writing. I have so many thoughts, and I feel as though it helps me sort out, okay, where is this coming from? Where is this stemming from? If I can write and I can see my patterns. And so writing has just been a really helpful source. It's been an outlet for me to be able to sort through my thoughts, express myself, and just trying as best as I can to continue finding those communities of people who understand. I think feeling understood is
Yeah.
really important. So I have, my friendships have changed and evolved and look a little bit different than they did 5 years ago. I've been able to surround myself with other, women-owned entrepreneurs who do understand.
Yeah.
So I think that just helps me feel a sense of peace. So it's still something that I'm actively working on, really knowing and trusting that, like, I, Elena, am a child of God, and
Yeah.
my love and worth is not dependent on Flora Me Lou.
Yeah. Yeah. That's so good. I remember I was watching like a video of a guy and he just had a baby. Well, obviously he didn't have it, but his wife did. And he was describing, like, I feel like so proud of my son, and like all he's done is like eat, sleep, and poop. And that was like so interesting to me, because reality is like that is the way that God feels about us. Like, we do not have to do anything for him to be proud of us and for him to love us. And it's simply because he created us and we are his children. And like that is enough. And I think that I wrestle with that because a lot of the other relationships in our life are very dependent on our actions and on our performance. And sometimes that's even how we feel about relationships that shouldn't be like that in our life too. And so I think that, really connecting with Jesus in that way of like the safety and the comfort of knowing that it has nothing to do with like our performance or the things that we do, but it just has to do with our identity that we're his, that is enough. And he'll be with us through the other things. He'll be with us to guide us through the businesses and the relationships and all the things. But those are just kind of added on. Those aren't the thing that he loves us for. And I think that being able to talk about that reality with people in your life, that keeps me really grounded when it comes to like understanding my identity. But yeah, just like that time, like for you, that looks like writing. I feel like that's where you like feel really close to the Lord. And for other people, that might be like running or being outside or whatever it is. But taking those times to connect with yourself, even if it's just for like a few minutes a day, I think is really helpful.
Absolutely. Yeah. I think that's you just speak so eloquently. And I think that's one thing that I've just always loved about you is I feel closer to God when I'm in your presence. And just a little side note. So I think I've always struggled with the threshold of enough. What is enough? And I think my whole life I've been searching, like I've searched just different for enough in different spaces, whether it be eating or my body or friends or floor mealy or whatever. And it's so true. The only times that I really truly feel at peace and such like I am enough is when I am with the Lord. So it all comes back to that.
That's so good. So, kind of to just wrap things up, tie everything together, what is like some advice that you would give to somebody in their 20s? Maybe somebody who you can kind of take that in a lot of ways, like somebody who's like you, somebody who's just, trying to figure it out, or just like what's something that you wish you kind of would have known yourself?
Yeah, I think something, regardless of where you're at in your 20s, I challenge you to just stop and pause and look within and really ask yourself, is my life right now, is what I'm doing, who I'm surrounding myself with, are they bringing me joy, happiness, fulfillment? Am I really content with what I've got going on? And if the answer is yes, then stay with it. Keep going down that track. If the answer is, I don't know, I mean, yeah, kind of, but I wish that, this would look a little bit different. My question for you is, or my word of encouragement is, don't push those things down. Do not suppress, because it's comfortable or safe. My challenge is process that. Go through, let yourself go in your mind and ask yourself why. Like, why am I not happier, fulfilled at this job or whatever, because life is so precious. Life is so short. And what we choose to do in our 20s is setting the foundation for what our life looks like down the road. And it's to say that if you don't, make these grand decisions in your 20s, that your life could be turned around in your 30s or 40s. But I just really believe that who you surround yourself with, the choices that you make, what you believe is a priority in your 20s is really just, it's crucial to carving a path that you can look back on in your 30s and say, yeah, I'm really glad that I went for it and didn't just settle.
That's great. Well, thank you so much for taking the time. There's like so many things that, I could break down even more because you're just so full of wisdom. And just thank you for your energy, for all your wisdom, for all your advice. And if anyone out there is looking for a wedding florist, we have a person for you. So I'll put your like information in the like show notes and stuff so that people know where to find you because you're the best.
Aw, thanks for the plug, Susie.
Yeah,
Well, thanks so much for having me. This was so much fun.
thank you for tuning in to this week's episode of the Quarter Life Queen podcast. Details about our guest, as well as any other information discussed in this episode, will be in the show notes below, so be sure to check it out. And if you have any questions, requests, or anything at all, be sure to email quarterlifequeenpod@gmail.com. Thank you so much, and you'll hear from me in next week's episode.